Vishavartantatasyorvor Lokavriti Karir Vibho Vaishyastad Udhavo Svartam Nirnam Ya Samavartayat. The means of livelihood of all persons, namely production of grains and their distribution to the prajas, was generated from the thighs of the Lord's gigantic form. The mercantile men who take charge of sex execution are called Vaishyas. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Human society's means of living is clearly mentioned here as visha, or agriculture, and the business of distributing agricultural products, which involves transport, banking, etc. Industry is an artificial means of livelihood, and the large-scale industry especially is the source of all the problems of society. In Bhagavad Gita, also the duties of the Vaishyas, who are engaged in visha, are stated as cow protection, agriculture, and business. We have already discussed that the human being can safely depend on the cow and agricultural land for his livelihood. The exchange of produce by banking and transportation is a branch of this type of living. The Vaishyas are divided into many subsections. Some of them are called Kshetri, or landowners. Some of them are called Krishna, or land tillers. Some of them are called Tilavanik, or grain raisers. Some are called Gandhavanik, or merchants in spices. Some are called Suvarnavanik, or merchants in gold and banking. The Brahmins are the teachers of and spiritual masters. The Kshatriyas protect the citizens from the hands of thieves and miscreants. And the Vaishyas are in charge of production and distribution. The Shudras, the unintelligent class of men who cannot act independently in any of the above-mentioned activities, are meant for serving the three higher classes for their livelihood. Formerly, the Brahmins were given all the necessities of life by the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas because they had no time to spend making a living. The Kshatriyas would collect taxes from the Vaishyas and Shudras, but the Brahmins were exempt from paying income tax or land revenue. That system of human society was so nice that there were no political, social, and economic upheavals. The different castes or varna classifications are therefore essential for maintaining a peaceful human society. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, has explained Chaturvarna Mayastristam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. This scientific process of social development was originally created by the Supreme Lord Himself. He has divided society into four spiritual and four social divisions. The varnas, according to one's natural occupational inclinations, are categorized as the Brahmins or the priestly class. those who are meant to teach society according to the proper Vedic scriptures. Brahmins are considered to be the head of society because they give spiritual direction and also a practical way by which we can implement that spiritual direction in our lives. One who had this natural tendency to be a Brahmin was required to be trained very carefully as a Brahmin. The symptoms or the qualities of a Brahmin are explained in the Bhagavad Gita. They are very truthful. They're very clean, very austere, simple, very learned in the scriptures, and excellent at imparting this knowledge to others. A Brahmin is never to be engaged in working for anyone, but rather a Brahmin is simply meant to teach. And he is supposed to live a very simple life with very few possessions, and whatever he does have is given in charity, in reciprocation for his very valuable service to society. Who would want to be a Brahmin unless they had that inclination? It's a very difficult life, very simple life. Krishna does not discuss in Gita caste by birth. Generally, according to the particular birth that we take our body, we are trained by our family members and we are given all facility to learn the particular occupation and qualifications of that varna. If a son is born of a Brahmin, then it is very natural for him to be very Brahminical because that atmosphere is all around. However, if one does not live by those standards or not taught properly, not to be considered Brahmin. Today people may be very proud that they are Brahmins, but are they living by Brahminical standards? If they had to, they would be running to another varna. Certainly. No occupation, no money making, live very, very simple, study the scriptures, teach nothing else in life you are allowed to do. I'm not a Brahmin. Take my thread, get it out. They'd run to another varna. 90%, maybe 99% of the Brahmins in India would be running to another ashram if they were obliged to live by the principles of a Brahmin. It's very difficult. But one who was willing to live by these standards was very much respected and honored by all society as their spiritual masters, as their teachers. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, he explained that the first part of his mission was to establish a class of Brahmins who by quality were living by Brahminical standards and who had true knowledge of the Vedas, not according to misconceptions, but according to parampara. And they were meant to teach the rest of society how to live. Unless there is a class of Brahmins, there is no possibility of any of the other people of society to understand the proper way to exist. The next category that Krishna created is the Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas are those who have a natural inclination for heroism, chivalry, very honest, with very high and deep integrity. If there is some difficulty that is being imposed upon any innocent person, the Kshatriya is willing to risk his life immediately to protect that person. First in the battlefield, Kurukshetra, there were real Kshatriyas. They were on the battlefield and they were fighting with dignity. They were fearless. Also, Kshatriyas are not ever allowed to be employed under anyone. They must be leaders of society, real administrators. And a Kshatriya is only considered a Kshatriya if he is always taking instruction and direction from the Brahmins. Who would want to be a Kshatriya today if they had to live by real standards of Kshatriya? Very, very difficult. To live with such honor and integrity, to be so genuinely courageous. Certainly people have these inclinations, but due to lack of proper training, they are not exemplifying real Kshatriya. And the next varna that was created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is being described here, the Vaishyas. When Krishna says that these four varnas and ashrams were created by me, in this particular chapter, it describes how, on one level, they are being created by Krishna directly, the Virat Rupa, the universal form, from the various parts of his bodies. The particular occupational duties are being created, as well as the people who are supposed to follow these occupational duties according to their inclination. So these four varnas and four ashrams are literally created directly from the body of the Virat Rupa. The qualifications of a Vaishya. Very rare in this age of Kali. There are many people who are farmers, many who are businessmen, traders, but how many are actually living by the qualities that Krishna is expecting? How many are trained in this way? A Vaishya engages in such activities as agriculture, trading, and banking, or business, according to the Gita. And they are meant to be protected by the Kshatriyas and guided by the Brahmins. When they have the proper guidance, they are understanding what is the purpose of their life. Krishna explains in Gita, yato yato nishchalati manaschanchanamastaram. The mind is so wavering, so unsteady. We do not understand what is our real duty, what is our real purpose of life. Therefore, our mind has to be controlled by our intelligence. Real intelligence is the word of God, which is coming from Krishna himself. Therefore, we must always have spiritual direction in our life. Atapum birdvijastrestas varana shrama vibhagasha shvanustatasya dharmasya samsadir haritoshana. Whatever our varna or ashram, it is meant to fulfill the duty of human existence. Atato brahma jigyasa. Human life is meant to understand Brahman, or our original spiritual existence. Tabo divyam putraka yena sattvam. And the means by which we understand Brahman is through tapasya, through performing austerities. And what is the ultimate austerity? samsidhir haritoshanam, to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. In all of our endeavors, we should make our life an offering to Krishna. And therefore, we make actual progress in human existence. Durlabha manava janma lobhya samsare. Human life is so very rare. After evolving through the various species, the aquatics, plant life and tree life, reptile life, so many species of birds, so many species of animals, and then we come to this very rare human existence. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Srila Rupa Goswami that in human existence, a large portion is uncivilized. They do not follow the proper standards of the Vedas. And of those who are civilized, most are following the karmakandic divisions of the Vedas, simply trying to improve their material life. Someone may aspire for liberation. And of those who have even achieved liberation, it is very, very rare to find one who is actually seeking the ultimate goal. The only means by which we can permanently be freed from the repetition of birth and death. And that is by surrendering to Krishna with pure unalloyed devotion. There is no other way. So all of our occupational duties are meant simply for the pleasure of Krishna. Unless Krishna is pleased, we have no hope of freeing ourselves from the sufferings of material existence. Daiviheshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mam evam ye prapadyante mayam etatarantite. Material existence consisting of these three modes of material nature is so difficult to overcome. Only when we surrender to Krishna can we cross beyond it. What does it mean to surrender to Krishna? It means to live in such a way that is pleasing to Krishna. It is not such a difficult thing to comprehend. Whatever we do, if we make it an offering to Krishna, according to Krishna's desire, that is surrender. We surrender the fruits of our activities to Krishna. We surrender our process of thinking to Krishna. We surrender our process of talking to Krishna. We surrender our possessions to Krishna. This is simple, and it is joyful. Unfortunately, people do not want to do this because they are so accustomed to being exploited. Even in the name of spirituality, there is so much exploitation. Within the various religions of the day, people have really lost their faith. If someone talks about surrender, how can I do that? I will be cheated. And actually, this has been the downfall of every great religious system in the world. Exploitation coming from the hierarchy, or the so-called brahminical class. The Catholic Church was at one time the only church following Jesus Christ in all of the world. There was the followers of Jesus were ordered by Jesus that the principal of his apostles or disciples, Peter, he said, Peter, you are the rock that I will build my church upon. So the Catholic Church began by the disciplic descendants of Saint Peter. And there was a whole hierarchy of very, very high people. The guru was the pope. But then as years went by, the leaders, the Brahmins, the spiritual guides became very greedy. They weren't living at all like Brahmins. They were simply exploiting people to get as much as they could from them. If someone committed a sinful activity, they would say, "You will be free from this sin if we perform a particular puja for you, and it will cost you a lot of money." But that's the only way to be freed from that sin. So they were making lots of money, and then people found out that the leaders were engaging in the same type of sinful activities with their money. And this was spreading all over the European continent. You have no access or right to read the scriptures. You must hear from us. But they were interpreting it in such a way so they get as much of your money as possible. Not only that, but there were so many scandals, so much cheating. First, the church divided into two. And then later on, people said, "Why should we follow these rascals? Better we just read the scriptures ourselves." And then so many various denominations. Now there are hundreds and hundreds of sections of Christians. And if any Christian tells you from any of the denominations, you should surrender everything. Not me. I will come to your lectures and I will give the donation of my choice, but surrender everything? I don't trust you. How can I trust you? And sometimes we do trust, and then we are cheated. And in the Hindu religion, the same principle. We will not go through all the religions, because there are many. But the downfall of India was the corruption of the Brahmins. We can trace its origin to the time of Maharaj Parikshit, the very beginning of this age of Kali Yuga. It is explained that when Lord Krishna left this world, then Kali Yuga began. As long as he was here, there was no question of Kali, because Kali means darkness. And Krishna is the Supreme Sun. Krishna Surya Sa Maya Hoya Andhakar. Where there is the sun, darkness cannot come. As long as Krishna was here, Maya could not attack. But when Krishna left, Kali descended. But Krishna had such a devotee, Maharaj Parikshit. He was ruling the state according to pure unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. He was empowered by Krishna himself. One who is empowered by Krishna has the same influence as Krishna. Because Maharaj Parikshit was a soul totally surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore Krishna gave him such shakti that Kali could not stand before him. Kali had to disguise himself as another ruler, although he was low by his conscious state. He disguised himself as a representative of God, a Kshatriya. And in that disguise, he was beating the innocent cow and bull with a stick. They were weeping and crying in pain. And Maharaj Parikshit, when he saw this, he came with his sword in hand, ready to destroy Kali. Who today could face Kali personified directly and challenge them? Hare Krishna. Which of you would take this service? We see the influence of Kali Yuga. But that personality who is the personification, the force which is the source of all of the degradation of Kali throughout the entire planet. To face him directly with a sword in your hand? But because Parikshit Maharaj was a soul surrender to Krishna, he was fearless standing right before Kali. Although Parikshit Maharaj was a human being, he was not a demigod. Still, he had this faith in Krishna's protection. He was willing to risk, give his life to protect even the most insignificant prajas or dependents in his kingdom, because it was his service to Krishna. As a representative of God, he was given the power of God. As he stood before Kali, Kali was trembling in fear, fell at the feet of Maharaj Parikshit, and surrendered. He didn't surrender his heart, obviously, but he surrendered his free will temporarily. And he could only go where Maharaj Parikshit allowed him to go. Wherever there is illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Wherever those four irreligious activities, you are the ruler. You are the king. And all those who are engaging in these activities are your slaves. Hare Krishna. Who would want such a wicked, deceiving master as Kali? But Kali explained to Maharaj Parikshit, this is, as long as you are king, these things cannot exist. I have nowhere to go. Because you have outlawed illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. And wherever it happens, you are right there with your sword to punish that fool. Where will I go? Give me some place, because I'm also your praja. You can go wherever there is the hoarding of gold or wealth, wherever there is greed to accumulate more and more for one's own personal selfish interests. Kali was very happy. But still, there was nowhere for him to go, because even greed was not possible, because everyone was satisfied. Because Maharaj Parikshit was inducing all of them to engage in devotional service throughout the world. So Kali made a plan. The way I can conquer the world is by conquering a Brahmin. Once the Brahminical class is corrupt, then the whole world will fall on my hands, because they are the heads of society. Kali entered into the heart of Sringi, the son of Samigrishi. And Krishna, knowing that it was the time for Kali Yuga, the time of the season for Kali to come, Krishna actually bewildered Maharaj Parikshit to do something he would never do. Unless Krishna induced him to do it, he could have never done such a thing. When he went to get water from Samigrishi during his travels in the forest, Samigrishi was in meditation. First of all, such a paramhamsa as Maharaj Parikshit is not aggrieved by thirst. And second of all, he is not subjected to anger for his personal interests. He didn't do much. He just placed a dead serpent on Samigrishi's shoulder, saying, oh, you are a big, big Brahmin. You want so much respect. You are not even willing to honor a guest. Here is a garland in the form of a snake. Hare Krishna. So Samik Rishi, his son Sringi, was so angry. It is said the first quality of a Brahman is forgiveness. A Brahman is meant to act according to one's intelligence with the guidance of the scriptures. But due to the influence of Kali, he became so much disturbed by his egoistic mind that he cursed Parikshit Maharaj to die in 7 days. Kali knew, without Parikshit, I will become king. So he took over the world through a little Brahmin boy. When Samik Rishi came back to consciousness and heard what his son had done, he understood the inconceivable will of the Lord has come. He chastised his son, "You are a rascal, you are nonsense, why you have done this?" He personally went to Parikshit Maharaj begging forgiveness on behalf of his son. But Maharaj Parikshit was such a detached Vaishnav. No, I will not try to counteract your curse. I will accept it as Krishna's mercy. Because human existence is meant for self-realization. Let me show by my example. Let me welcome that snake bird when he comes to bite me. So Maharaj Parikshit went and fasted for 7 days on the banks of the holy river Ganges, the banyan tree where he sat and made this vow, the place where Shukadev Goswami spoke to him, Srimad Bhagavatam, is still there today. Have any of you been to that place? You brought me there. It's a beautiful place. Someday, hopefully, we will have some yatra to that place. It is between Delhi and Haridwar, a little off the road, near Meerut. There he heard Srimad Bhagavatam, and in pure unalloyed devotion, he departed for the spiritual world. But upon his disappearance, Kali came. But as a reaction to Sringi, who was a Brahmin, it is described, due to that sinful activity, people lost faith in the Brahmins. And it is said that even Rakshasas and the lowest, most demoniac people will take birth in Brahmin families just to exploit and ruin the principles of religion in the age of Kali. Please do not think that all Brahmins are Rakshasas and demons. But according to the scriptures, some are. But the Vedic culture was so strong. But somehow or other, these Brahmin class who are supposed to be so simple and so completely austere and clean in their mind, clean in their hearts, clean in their bodies, who are supposed to leave society as humble servants, they wanted to use that high position, the sentiments of people, to exploit. They didn't want the qualifications, and this is where caste by birth came in. The Brahmin class were unqualified. They were sense enjoyers. They were not austere, they were not clean. They may have learned some scriptures, but it wasn't changing the quality of their lives. So they invented this idea that because we are born, it doesn't matter what we do, it doesn't matter what we say, because we are in this born, we are better than you. You must serve us. We are the superior race and you are inferior. You will do what we say, otherwise you will be condemned. so much scandalous behavior and so much oppression. If you are born Shudra, you are not allowed to engage in any religious activities. Because if you chant a mantra, you will contaminate the mantra. If you come to the temple, you will contaminate the temple. If you see the deity, your glance will contaminate the deity. This is what they were preaching. This is what they were teaching. And people were so afraid. And gradually the Kshatriyas didn't want to follow these rascals. And other religions came in and said, we don't care what you are born. Come to our temple, come to our mosque, come to our church. Just come in, no problem. We will give you all facility. Just sign up. Gradually we'll take over your nation. And other religions were having marked effects of taking over the nation simply because of the Brahmins. Because they did not give rights to a large, large segment of the whole population. What do you expect? If someone says, you're not allowed to do anything religious, no prayers, no chanting, no reading of scriptures, no yajnas, just serve us. And in your next birth, you will have the right to be one step closer to taking birth in our caste. Who wants to take birth in your caste, rascal? That's the goal of life, after birth, after birth, after birth, after birth, to take birth in this nonsense creature's caste, so I can also exploit and terrorize the innocent. And then somebody comes and says, you can go to heaven, just come with us. Which would you do? Hare Krishna. So therefore, the lower castes of people converted to so many other religions. And the upper class people, they may not have converted, but they had very little faith. So when we talk about surrender, it's very difficult because we do not trust. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada's mission was to create a real class of true Brahmins that people have faith in, because they are repeating the word of God through parampara, and they are living examples, and they are actually renounced, detached from material life, especially from false ego. And it was his great desire that people live up to these standards and guide the rest of society. With that guidance, the whole society can go back home, back to Godhead. Whether you are Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Sannyasi, Vanaprastha, Grihastha, or Brahmachari, we learn how to please Krishna. Pleasing Krishna means to dedicate whatever we do for Krishna, to dedicate whatever we have for Krishna. The Vaishyas, they are the people in society who actually earn money. The Brahmins are just meant to be given some charity for their purposes of preaching. And the Kshatriyas, they tax. They don't earn, they tax. They're not manufacturing things or farming. They just protect. They administrate. But if you want to be protected and administrated, you have to pay tax. So who paid the taxes? The Vaishyas, and to some extent the Shudras. Whatever they had. But Vaishyas, a true Vaishya is not allowed to work under anyone. If you work under someone, you are a Shudra, according to the strict terms of Vedic terminology. A Vaishya has to be independent, self-sufficient. A Vaishya is a landowner. Or if he's doing banking or business, he's the owner of that business. Today, only a few so-called, most Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas are all working under somebody. That means, kalo shudra sambhave. They're actually shudras by real definition. In fact, in Kali Yuga, everyone is born in that condition. But actually, there's nothing wrong with being shudra, providing you engage your activities for the service of Krishna. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita the qualification of a shudra is to be very faithful and eager to serve others who are engaging you in that service. And if we perform that activity in Krishna's service, we can in Krishna consciousness, we can achieve the perfection of life. So a Vaishya was a person who, or is to be a person who, with honesty and integrity, performs his or her work in the service of the Lord under real spiritual direction. And taking guidance from the Brahmins, accepting protection from the Kshatriyas who are taking guidance from proper Brahmins, and very eager to pay whatever taxes because we actually see the results. When the king's servants would come to the Vaishyas and say, please pay this tax, they would be happy. Yes, please give the king my obeisances. Here's my tax. So wonderful he is. That's the way Vedic society used to be. The Vaishyas were eager to pay taxes, because they knew it's like watering the root of the tree. The king is the representative of God. When you give to God, everybody flourishes. By giving to a proper king who's under the guidance of proper Vaishnavas, what will happen? I'm just watering the root of the tree of society, myself, my family, everyone will flourish by giving this tax. Please take more. Why only this much? Take more! Have you ever met anyone in the 20th century who was so enthusiastic to pay taxes? Now, one of the biggest occupations is accountants. And the whole business of an accountant is to somehow or other devise legal ways by which you can pay less taxes. That's their constant meditation. Real accountants, the ones that make the most money. And so many people, even big people. The tax company, the tax division breaks in your house and finds money that is not accounted for. Hare Krishna. And everybody's cheating. In Kali Yuga, there are two classes of men in this regard. There are the cheaters that get caught, and there are the cheaters that do not get caught. And the tax companies, or the tax collectors, which are divisions of every country in the world, they know that there's only two classes of men, the cheaters that get caught and the cheaters that do not get caught. It's just a matter of who you want to catch. It's like the cat and the mouse, making all strategies to see who can overcome the other by their cheating propensities. Because today the tax collectors are cheaters. If someone investigated the tax status of the tax collectors and the big people in offices, who knows what they would find? It is the world of cheaters and cheated. But in the days of good kings, in the days when the king was actually taking service from the people to offer it to Krishna, people trusted. They wanted to give. They wanted to give to the Brahmins. They wanted to utilize everything in the service of the Lord, because they understood this is the real source of happiness. All over the world, big, big business people, mercantile people, agricultural people, they are not happy. They are not satisfied. They simply and more wealth, more and more power. They're just victims of greed. Like a bull with a nose ring just being pulled by the force of greed, and they think, this is my desire. It is not their desire at all. You go to some of these big, big companies, and the chairmen of the boards or the owners of the company, they think, I am doing so much. I am controlling so many people. What I desire will be done, because when money talks, everyone walks. But actually, they don't know that they're walking also. It's just lobha, greed, which is one of the agents of Kali, who's just taking them like a bull with a nose ring and just pulling them. And they're just walking according to what, pull them this way, pull them that way. They're just victims, slaves. This is the way a sadhu sees such people. They have their big, big cars and nice clothes and big, big homes and gigantic complexes for their businesses, whatever. And they're thinking, look at me. I am controlling the politicians. I am controlling the government. I am controlling so many people. I am. Some sort of a god. And devotees just look at them and think, you are just a weak, cripple-minded slave of greed. You are just totally controlled by Kali. Poor person, unfortunate person. I weep when I see you. I pity such a fool as you. Ah, what are you saying? I can destroy you, I can destroy your temple, but you cannot destroy my soul, you fool. But your soul is already destroyed. Therefore, chant the holy names of Christ. Make your life purposeful. Serve the mission of human existence. Whether you are a decorated animal or an animal without decorations, if you are not serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are animal. Hare Krishna. According to Bhagavatam philosophy, some dogs, hogs, camels, and asses walk, and some drive in Mercedes-Benz. Somewhere Italian-designed suits and ties, and somewhere an old gumsha. They are all dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. if they do not engage in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the purpose of human existence. The Vaishyas are meant to be like the stomach, providing for the whole society as a service, not taking from society, but providing for society. That is the difference between material and spiritual. A spiritual person knows that nothing is mine. Janasya mohoya maham mameti. It is an illusion to think this is my body, this is my family, this is my race, this is my wealth, this is my animals, this is my home. It is all Krishna's. It always was, it always will be. To use everything according to Krishna's desire is the way of enlightenment. And therefore, the Vaishyas are meant to generate the various necessities of life for the benefit of the whole society. They are not simply meant to accumulate more and more and more so that others have less. They are supplying so everyone has. In a natural, traditional social arrangement, people do not have artificial goods. They live simply. What are the necessities of life? Basically food. Grains, vegetables, fruits, milk products. People would live in simple homes and they would have these things. Others would transport, others would trade. There was also bankers. Those who would help to build homes and other such facilities. But they were providing service to society. They were not greedy. They were not hoarding. If you hoard, you are inviting Kali into your home. Therefore, according to Vedic civilization, grihastas, their very primary duty is to give in charity. But Bhagavad Gita also divides giving in charity according to the three modes of material nature. To give the wrong thing to the wrong person in the wrong place at the wrong time is charity in the mode of ignorance. To give in charity with a passionate desire to get something in return is charity in the mode of passion. To give in charity to the right thing, to the right person, in the right place, in the right time is charity in the mode of goodness. But to give in charity in such a way to help elevate people into spiritual consciousness, that is devotional service. That is charity on the transcendental plane, which is beyond the modes of material nature, which is beyond all the limitations of this world of birth and death. In other words, Krishna is to be the center of their lives. Everyone is servant. Jivera Swarupoi Krishna Raritya-das. In the scriptures, the duties of a grihasta is any guest that comes to your house, serve them with great affection and love. Serve the sadhus, who are true sadhus, with great respect and eagerness. Serve the members of your family by giving them the real wealth of Krishna consciousness, as well as the basic necessities for the body and mind. Serve the members of society at large by helping to utilize whatever you have to give them the wealth of Krishna bhakti, as well as the necessities of life if required. This is the way a Vaishya in the Grihastha order is meant to live. And how to put Krishna in the center of your life? By making your home a temple of Krishna. by teaching your children so that they will carry on the dynasty of Vaishnavas, not the dynasty of Tilavanaks or Gandhavanaks or Suvarnavanaks, but the dynasty of Mahatma Vanaks, of rare souls who are devotees of Krishna. But today in society, people have so little trust, so misguided, so fearful. They do not understand that death could come at any moment to myself, to my family members, to the whole, to all of our associates. So let us now, there's no time to wait. Let us utilize the wonderful gifts that Krishna has given me in Krishna's service. Everything is taken away. We have two choices in life: to give it to Krishna in love, or to have it taken away by Yamaraj. Do you have a third choice? Can anyone in this august assembly of great souls think of a third choice that you may have? Please, we have many educated, deep-thinking people. Is there a third alternative of what you will do with your wealth, with your position, with your qualifications? You can either offer it to Krishna with love, or you can offer it to Yamaraj in fear. Is there a third choice? So, intelligence means to offer it to Krishna with love while we're alive, rather than having it stripped away from us painfully at death. Srila Prabhupada explains that a devotee very happily offers his prostrated obeisances to Guru, Vaishnavas, and Krishna. But proud people say, "I will bow down before no man." Hare Krishna. But at the time of death, they offer their prostrated obeisances, and they can't even get up. You go to the funeral and everyone sees, ha-ha, he's offering his obeisances. Some are offering it in a coffin to be put in the ground. Some are offering their obeisances on top of a stack of wood to be burned. Some are offering their obeisances on the roof of on a mountain to be eaten by birds. But everyone offers their obeisances. Not only obeisances, dandavat. Full prostrated obeisances. You have to. The question is, are you going to do it with love to Krishna and go back to Godhead, or are you going to do it out of force at death and continue transmigrating to the 8,400,000 species of life? But this is intelligence. Simple intelligence. Intelligence doesn't mean having a PhD in graphic arts, or intelligence doesn't mean having a super specialist degree in some other technology. Intelligence means that I either have to offer my life to Yamaraj or Krishna, one of the two. So let me offer it to Krishna, and let me chant his holy names.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare,
This means to please Krishna. You can do whatever you want according to your own misconceptions, but if it's not pleasing to Krishna, you make no spiritual progress. Bhakti is not according to our own concoctions. Bhakti means for the pleasure of the Lord, for the pleasure of His devotees. That is the central focus of our lives. Krishna consciousness is the transcendental opportunity for everyone. And the four varnas and the four ashrams are such a wonderful, wonderful arrangement by which the whole society can be harmonized in Krishna's service. And to the degree we depart from this principle, there will be chaos, distrust, disharmony within society. So we must begin amongst ourselves to create such a harmonious society where everyone has Krishna as the center of their lives, where everyone is striving to help one another to live in such a way that Krishna is pleased. Then we can be happy in this life and forever immersed in transcendental ecstasy in the spiritual world after we depart from this temporary body. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, you are talking about the Varnashra Dharma. My query is that how do we grasp us? Because we see in this material world that this opposite sex attraction even among children is so prominent. So my thesis as being a part of ISKCON movement, how do we grasp us? Help our children, because we see them mingling so much. We see our kids mingling with opposite sex, whatever they may be devotees, but we see them mingling at a very young age. But do you think we need to train them and make them aware of, because as they grow up, it is but natural, though they are devotee, because this attraction is so strong.
According to the traditional system, at the age of 5, one is to be trained as a brahmachari. Hare Krishna. Does that answer your question?
What if the child is not inclined to be a brahmachari?
They should be taught how to live in such a way that when they do come to the age where that very powerful impulse is awakened from the mind, that they'll actually be very well trained to understand how to deal with it. In materialistic society, there's no training for children. There's no restrictions in this way for children. Therefore, when this impulse is awakened within the heart at a particular age, they don't know what to do. They just become like animals, like little animals. And gradually they become big animals. Hare Krishna. The difference between a big animal and a little animal is just some duration of time. So therefore we should train, but we should train in a nice way, in a cultured way, in a loving way. We don't have to beat them into discipline at home, but we should give a nice environment. As a society, we should actually work together to create a nice environment for our children to grow up. They should learn to respect and adore all Vaishnavas. They should learn to respect all living beings, in fact. But at the same time, they should understand the principles of spiritual society. And when young, there should not be separation of hearts, but there should be separation to some extent, where intimate and free mixing is not encouraged, but rather discouraged. And therefore, you just have to give them something better. If you have a society that where the parents raise their children in this way, then it's just completely natural. But if you do not, then we are creating a situation where many problems in the future will come. Does that answer your question? Yes? You do not look like you are satisfied. What is your next question?
The thing is, you were just talking about Grahastha Ashram and helping the Varnashra Dharma. So my just thought is that when you are in a Grahastha Ashram, how do you help? Like you were saying that you should be charitable.
Hmm?
You should be charitable to the Brahmanas.
Hmm.
But the fear is that, my one thing is how you'll be charitable to the Brahmanas. Like you also say that once you have said that Grahastha should be protecting the Brahmanas. So can you just clear it up what exactly you mean by that Grahastha should be protecting the Brahmanas?
What does it mean? The Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, all classes should be, you're mixing things up. There's the Varnas and the Ashrams. The Kshatriyas, because you can be a Grihastha Brahmin also. So does that mean a Grihastha Brahmin should protect the Brahmins? The Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas are meant to protect the Brahmins. And generally, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are Grihasthas. So those such Grihasthas should certainly. And what does it mean to supply their necessities? And to, according to our position in society, to assist them in their mission of giving God consciousness to the world. And to help protect them from those things that that corrupt their mission. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna. Yes, Vishakha Priya, your microphone is in your hand. Any other question? This is certainly a very extraordinary day that after a class like this, Ananda Vrindavan Prabhu is silent. By the ordinary course of nature, his hand would have been flying to the air long ago. Yes.
Maharaj, you very nicely explained the Varnashram system in your class today. But Srila Prabhupada also many times mentions in his lectures, in his books also about the Daivi Varnashram system. which he wants to advocate in his society. Can you please enlighten us about this Daivi Varnashram system and how we can implement in the society?
Everything we have spoken is in relationship to Daivi Varnashram. There are two types of Varnashram, Asurak Varnashram and Daivi Varnashram. Correct? Asurak means to follow Varnashram very carefully, but not offer the fruits to Krishna. And Daivi Varnashram means to do it all in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if you want to hear about Daivi Varnashram, you can listen to the tape of the class, where we have discussed it for the last 1 hour. Does that answer your question? Very well. This is a very supernatural omen, huh? It's very auspicious. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.